We'll say that again.
I was going to say that, you know, a podcast like Harmontown gets probably around 600,000-700,000 downloads a week, and they have copyrighted songs on there, and they openly talk about it. And no, they are not licensing, so they're not going to go after us before they go after them. So there's not really much to need to worry about with that. All right, post show. I kept meaning to talk about this, but I kept forgetting. Blind spots, aren't they cool?
You mean car blind spots?
No, your optic blind spot blind in your spots? Eye.
Yeah, yeah.
You know how to find one? You know how to find it?
Yeah.
So it's really, it's kind of right
I never
there.
Found it
right
that
there.
Way.
There
never
it is.
Found it that way.
Right there. Your thumb just kind of disappears. If you move it slowly, just move it. Take it from right in front of you. Just move and keep your eye just focused right in front and just move it slightly off and it'll just disappear right about there. It's kind of hard.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there it is.
It's kind of hard to tell because the rest of your hand's there and your brain keeps up the illusion.
Right. So I've seen the... Oh, sorry for hitting the mic there. I've seen the thing where you print out a piece of paper and there's two spots on it, right?
Right.
And you start at your nose and you pull it away and the one spot disappears. That's the way I've done the blind spots.
I like this way because it's just... I mean, once you can find it, once you can sort of distract yourself enough into being able to see it, it's really kind of cool that your thumb just goes and poof, there it is, gone. Oh, there it is again.
See, this worked for me. Look at one and then...
Yep. Yeah, that's right. Right about there. Gone. See, it's there.
Yeah, so I just drew on the back of a paper. I made two circles about 4.5 inches apart. And you start with close one eye, put the one circle up to your nose with the other circle on the outside of your head. And if you pull away, it goes away completely. Yeah. Paper looks like it's blank over there until you glance over that way.
Actually, this works well. This is my little nasal thing. It's white. If you use that instead of your thumb, it take it and put it, you know, use it where your thumb, like your thumb would be. It's really obvious when it disappears. No, you're gone too far.
No, it doesn't work for me as really? Well as not the dots on the paper work much better because you have a clear background, right? And the dot just goes away. Right there, like right, like it's not like you, it, like because when you do this, there's no correction, there's no brain trying to fill in the blank, right?
Yeah.
Because the circle is completely gone, the paper looks white, so your brain's just like, hey, dude, it's just white. Where a hand without a thumb is weird, and your brain tries to figure that out.
Yes, that's true.
Right, so,
but it's still cool. Let's see if I can do it with the beer.
The beard disappeared. Yeah, I can make the beard disappear.
It's
that's too big.
Yeah, it's too big. But the reason why we have blind spots is a pretty cool thing. It's because our eye is kind of built backwards. The vessels that supply the blood into the eye come into it and over top of the sensing stuff. So there's actually a place in your eye where the vessels come in. Mm-hmm. And the mollusk guy, squids and octopus don't have this problem. The blood comes in from behind.
Real problem. Glad they don't have it.
What?
It's a real problem. I'm glad they don't have it.
It's a weird thing that, you know, that your brain compensates for.
Right.
But it's another indication of how what you see isn't really what's there, right? What you see is this amalgamation that your brain puts together. It's not it's not real. Things like colors aren't real.
Colors are real, man.
So I remember reading a question from somebody on... I frequent the Ask Science board on Reddit, not to answer questions, really, but just to look and see what people are asking and sometimes to get answers to interesting questions. And somebody was asking, are there different colors for other areas of the electromagnetic spectrum? Like, is there red radio and blue radio? And the answer is, well, no, because there really aren't colors at all. There's just what your brain interprets as colors for the part of the electromagnetic spectrum that we can interpret through our eyes.
What's it? We, instead of seeing little tags with frequencies written right. beside them, we distill that, or distill is not the right word, but we interpret that as red right. or blue, or it could all be gray with little labels, mm-hmm. you know? You could have evolved that way. Unlikely.
Right. It could be little numbers, right? But besides each thing yeah. that tells you that this is the actual frequency in nanometers or something, let's say. Mm-hmm. But
the wavelength, yeah.
Yeah. But that's not what we get. We get colors. It's a lot more efficient because you don't have to learn numbers.
Well, it's just a key, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it just points out, hey, that's blue, that's red, that's... It's a very rich or high bandwidth way to convey information, too.
Yeah.
I mean, for, you know, because we're so color sensitive or, you know, so used to using color, you know, a lot of astronomy photos that are made in the radio or infrared, or they use false color, right, to represent
yes,
difference in intensities, right? And so they could all be in grayscale or something like that and have labels beside them, but they use colors to represent that because it's just so intuitive to interpret that information.
Yeah, and like you said, it's high bandwidth. It's actually a lot of information mm-hmm. being given to you just by changing the color or something. You know, it's because color is such a... It is such an actually large concept that seems so small. It's large because it is, you know, it takes that thing of labeling frequency and turns it into something. And I'm using distill again. It distills it down to something that we can interpret it in a much easier way. It decimates it. Let's put it that way. It takes 1/10 of it. another thing that was on...
Only 10 items this week? Slackers! There's only 10 items on Amazon Anonymous this week. You guys are not living up to your side of the deal!
Wait. It's been...
1 week.
Has it been 1 week since it released?
Yeah.
Because didn't you release it...
I put it up that night.
Early, yeah. So, yeah, it's been 1 week.
It's just a standard drone, but, you know, yeah, only 10 items purchased this week. But we did have that Galaxy Tab, so.
Yeah.
Let's see what else we got here. Nothing too exciting to talk about.
What I find interesting is someone purchased a case for their Galaxy Tab, but where is that case? Under what category? Pet supplies.
Oh, the Bluetooth keyboard. Okay. Oh, it's keyboard case. Okay.
Yeah.
And pet supplies. Okay. Sure.
Something weird about that. Can't quite put my finger on it.
All right. So there's only one thing that's really... interesting because it's not just tablets or shoes, and that is the American resting place, 400 years of history through our cemeteries and burial grounds. This is written by Barium Yalom and Reed S. Yalom. Gets 4 out of 5 stars with 19 reviews, $22.50 free shipping. Sweeping history of America seen through gravestones, graveyards, and burial practices. This reminds me, my brother-in-law, he's a teacher, does video production type stuff, and he has always wanted to do a show on a more local focused show, almost like the Rick Seaback of Pittsburgh graveyards, and he wanted to point out like all the interesting stuff, but this seems to be more of a national scope. I'm not going to read any reviews on a book. because that's just not going to be as exciting as what I normally read.
You love reading those reviews.
Well, I think it brings a little life to the Amazon Anonymous. That's all I think.
I just think that I don't like Amazon reviews in general because I feel like they're...
silly?
Yes.
Well, that's why I read them, because they're silly.
All right, so I will pick the Aquabella 5.5-inch loofah body pad.
Ooh, 5-inch body pad.
Loofah.
I saw it. I passed on it.
Yeah. We already... I mean, thank you to whoever purchased the Galaxy Tab. Thank you very much. That's awesome. We really appreciate it. And accessories to go with it, too. Cool. I actually know who bought the wedge pillow. That would be my parents.
Oh, yeah?
So, yeah. But the loofah body pad. I kind of like loofahs. They're nice. Showers kind of thing.
I bought... I thought I wanted a loofah. I bought one that's on a stick so I can, like, scrub my back.
Uh-huh.
And I don't like it as much as a brush.
Hmm.
Because last year I had a brush on a stick. It was a cheap brush with synthetic bristles. A little too rough, but I would use it, like, I don't know, something after, like, scrubbing all your skin down with, like, this brush, like, it just woke everything up.
Yeah, and
you just
felt, that whole exfoliation.
Yeah, yeah, I guess that's exactly what it was, the exfoliation. So I'm like, oh, this loofah thing, that looks interesting, but... I don't know. Maybe it's a cheap one. Maybe, yeah, but I don't like it. So I'm just going to have to get me a new brush. Maybe I'll look for a brush with, you know, something that's a little more natural, bristly or something like that. But
we just got an email from, I won't tell you who it's from because I don't know whether he wants us to say, but from a fan. Says he just started listening to our podcast. He's looking forward to making his way through the last few years. He likes to even begin 10 shows in. He's already learned about brewing and science behind stuff. Well, just wait. We get a lot better. He asked about black IPAs. Have we ever done a show dedicated to black IPAs? We may have.
No, not a whole show.
We've had black IPAs in the show for sure.
Not very many. You don't see very many black IPAs.
Yeah.
We could go do one right now. We got a Sierra Nevada one over there.
He says he lives
fridge.
In Seattle and noticed a big boom in popularity of black IPA style. I mean, you know, black IPAs are kind of... I tend to look at them as almost gimmicky because I don't see a lot of black IPAs that really take the black beyond, oh, it's color. You know, it's just an IPA that happens to be black. I would like the black IPAs I really like are the ones that add sort of a little bit of caramel taste. And
well, I mean, the origin of the black IPAs was like the Stone 10th anniversary, right? Where they found the Carafa malt, which gave color but no roastiness, right? Mm-hmm. So they made this black beer, and I remember very clearly us doing that on the show. We're like, oh my god, this is crazy. It tastes like a West Coast IPA, but it looks like a porter.
Right.
Your brain messes with you. You almost have to do it blindfolded to actually see what it's tasting because your brain messes with you. And so, there was that. That was the seed that spawned the whole thing. And from there, it has changed a little bit. It's not just this optical illusion.
Right.
Black IPAs do provide some flavors. You know, some people call these Cascadian dark ales. And, black IPAs. And then I think there's one other term. What's the other term? It's a... I'm drawing a blank. I haven't had a ton, and I have not had any in the last year and a half.
You didn't have any at GABF?
Probably not, because they don't too many other things to try. You know, like you said, they seem kind of gimmicky. I mean, I've had a couple that have been decent, but I don't remember which ones those were. It's kind of like Belgian IPA, right? I thought those were gimmicky at first until I found... Well, I strongly believe brewers finally figured out how to make Belgian IPAs.
Yes.
So maybe brewers are still working on figuring out how to make black IPAs. I don't know. Yeah, we'll have to answer his email because he's not going to hear this post-show for
probably not
quite a while.
No.
But yeah, I mean, it's a good question. It would be great to be able to go to the store and buy 5-6 black IPAs and kind of compare and contrast them. But you it's like trying to say you're going to get, you know, 6 different Flanders at your store.
Yeah.
Not so much.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think the same way that I wouldn't want to do a, I don't want to do any more full IPA shows. I wouldn't want to do a full Flanders show either, or at least not 6 of them. You know, mm-hmm. That'd be ridiculous. That would just be overwhelming.
You think?
and your stomach would probably just be like, no, what are you doing to me? the wild stuff that you're putting in there. But, okay. All right.
So let's see. I've been
another thing that was that was in the Ask Science thing that I thought was really interesting that I learned was someone asked the question, a good question. Why is it that fish fin, like their back fin, goes like this, but mammalian
dolphins, whales,
otters have a thing that goes up and down as opposed to left to right? The answer is evolution.
Right, but it has to do with, is it hips?
It's a spine movement. Okay. So if you look at tetrapods like lizards and things like that, they move like this. This is how they walk. They swing back and forth.
Okay, right.
And it really, you know, and all non-avian tetrapods and lizards, something like that, do that. And then when you get to avians and then you get to mammals, the spine starts going up and down.
Okay. Dolphins and whales, trying to think of a skeleton. They don't have hips, right? No, I mean,
sure they do.
Hips?
Well, they have.
I mean, so they evolved from something that had hips, or
yeah, they evolved from cows or cow-like things.
Okay, I'm gonna have to pull up a dolphin skeleton real quick.
Yeah. So yeah, they evolved from land animals.
Well. Okay, let me just see a picture real quick here. Right. And they have shoulders,
right?
Rib cage. It looks like if they came from something that had hips, they had lost them.
Well, we have a very tiny tailbone because we used to have a tail.
I mean, but there's a dolphin skeleton, and there's nothing distinctive at the bottom of the rib cage, right? It's just spine that goes right into the tail.
It's probably there, but it's hard to. That's a front picture. It's maybe really small and atrophied because there isn't much use for it.
I searched for dolphin hips, but and Google thinks I want to search for dolphin hipsters.
This is a picture that I saved of the tetrapod movement that shows you how how they move.
So. Yeah, it makes sense. When as soon as you said it, you just think about how a lizard walks, right?
Yeah.
And it makes sense.
Okay, so I got something else to talk about.
Okay.
I tweeted you about this, remember?
Oh, the math thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we had talked about that, but we kept forgetting to bring it up. But it's really kind of cool.
Yeah. So in school, what's called core. Let me see here.
Was it your sister who brought this up to you?
No, Heather.
Heather. Well, Heather learned it from where?
Her sister.
Her sister.
She's a teacher. Yeah.
Yeah. And she's complaining about it because it's not what she's used to, is the problem.
So I can't. Is it called core? Core common? Right.
Something like that? Yeah. Let's see if I can search for it too.
But the way it works is instead of doing math the traditional way, they kind of walk. I'm going to describe it as they walk you into the answer. I wish I had a good example here. Let's see if I can come up with one. So let's do 24 plus. at the end of the show with all this, with beer. I'm not sure I'm going to be able to remember how they do it.
Okay, so what they do is essentially do some estimation and then figure out the remain. Then they subtract or add to get to the final point. Instead of doing 17 plus 21 plus 13, instead of doing that directly like we would do, they turn the 17 into 15, and they turn the 21 into 20, and they turn the, what was it?
That's a good way to describe it, right? They'll turn it, basically walk in by tens, then fives, then ones, right? And you borrow numbers from one number to make the other number an even five or something like that, right? That's kind of how they do it, where...
So 17...
This is the hard... I mean,
23 and 13, let's say they pick those two numbers. So instead of what we would do is we would just add those up as we learn. 7 plus 3 is 10, plus 3 is 13, 3, put a 1 on top, and then you add the other ones, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So you have 53 is your answer. What they would do is they turn the 17 into 15... And they turned the 23 into 25, and they turned the 13 into 15 again, and that's pretty easy to add. You get another 5 over here, and you get 15, and then you get 55, and then you take what you had here, you take 2 off, you add 3, and you take 2 off, and you end up with 53. That's, I think, what was the description of Common Core. But... it's a little weird. It's a little different. People are complaining because this is not the way they were taught. I don't know whether this is a better way or not, but I think that the way people are taught math is terrible because, or at least the way that we were taught math is terrible because we have so many people who hate math and don't ever want to do it. Because they think math is scary. And it shouldn't be scary. I mean, so much of what we rely on is math. People hear the word algebra and they go into fits. But algebra is the basics, is almost the entirety of the math you do all the time. Substitute something for X. You know, I have this much in my bank account. I'm going to pay this much. What am I going to have left? That's algebra.
Man, the internet hates Common Core. Everything I'm pulling up is,
people, railing against it.
There's got to be, I'll have to look for it, but there's got to be a site explaining. I mean, like when I had it fresh in my head, and I don't right now, it kind of lets you do, it does the estimation thing, right? It gets you into the nearest 10, and then it gets you into the nearest 5, then it gets you into the nearest 1. And I was trying to explain to Heather the steps involved of that versus the steps involved of doing traditional math. And I tried to illustrate the steps that we take for granted in additional math. Because, I mean, there are the carry the ones, the adding the two columns together, things like that. And it's so natural for us because, everyone who hates Common Core is the way they did it. But really, there's a bunch of steps there that you have to keep track of. Mm-hmm. And so I took one of the numbers that, she showed me this picture on Facebook of the worst Common Core sum, right? Because it was like 8 steps, And then I found an example of an easier Common Core and then showed the steps to do it in traditional math. And she was not in the mood to be convinced of either way, right? So it didn't work out so well. But, I can see it. And just because the way you were taught doesn't mean it's the right way. Yeah. And I still, even to this day, there's certain sums that I have hard problem coming up with, like single digit sums. Right. And I will, if I'm doing it on paper, I will start marking down little dots on the thing so I can add the dots. And I'll do them in the pattern that I'm used to so I can group them easily and things like that. But, I think Common core gets you away from maybe, because of the whole estimation thing, gets you away from some of that dot counting. But I don't know. Yeah. I'm not against it. I think that, but I definitely, before, you know, my kids aren't there yet, but I should read some of the pros and cons. There's plenty of cons, like you said, just because it's different.
Yeah. There's interesting things about math. Like I said, I mean, I haven't been paying attention to, I've been working on other stuff right now, so I haven't been paying attention to the particle physics math like I want to, but I wouldn't, let me not say particle physics math, because it's a little bit more involved than just quantum mechanics math, which really isn't that hard. It's trigonometry. It's trigonometry and basic probability to get back to unitary. You remember your SOHCAHTOA, you remember your imaginary numbers, your complex plane. If you can do that stuff, and if you can't, go to Khan Academy and relearn it. If you can do trigonometry, and if you can do basic matrix operations, you can do most of the math of quantum mechanics. The math isn't really that hard. It's the concepts that's hard, but the math isn't hard.
Right. Sorry, can we go back to Common Core real quick? Because I found the example, and it's actually a subtraction problem. Okay. And this is what I said when we were doing it on the table upstairs, is this is actually good skills for pre-algebra.
Right.
Right? Because what they do is, the example is 32 minus 12.
32 and, minus 12.
And that's obscenely easy, right?
Yes, right.
20, right? But so the way they do it, the way you would do the work, the way you show the work in Common Core is you take the 12 and you're working up to 32. So you want to take the 12 to the nearest 5.
Okay.
So 12 plus what is 15?
Plus 3.
So keep the 3, you know, put the 3 in a column. That's mm-hmm. So keep, write the rest of the ones under the 3. And then, so you're at 15 and you want to go up to the nearest 0 number. Right? So, it's, excuse me, 15 plus what is 20?
Plus 5.
Right, so put the 5 under the 3.
All right.
So, now you have, so 12 plus 3 is 15. So, put the 15 to the right of the 3. Just write 15 there. And then copy that 15 underneath the 12. Okay, so then 15 plus 5 is 20. So, put a 20 there. Then copy the 20 under the 15. So now you go to the next 10 as long as it's less than the sum, right? So 30 is less than 32. So then you're going to do 20 plus what is 30?
10.
Equals 30. And then copy the 30. And then 30 plus what equals 32?
2.
And then take the 3 plus the 5 plus the 10 plus the 2. Which is 20.
Right.
So this is the example by the Common Core haters.
Right.
Because that is a lot of work to figure out what 32 minus 12 is.
Yeah.
But that's the same example I showed you up on the table. Right. But it's a lot of pre-algebra right there.
Essentially.
And there's nothing wrong with learning how to solve this problem with pre-algebra. This is an example that is going around Facebook, and it's on this page here because it's the worst possible example of Common Core.
Right.
It takes 4 steps to figure out what 32 minus 12 is.
Right. But I mean,
for most problems, it's going to be 2 steps, you know?
I mean, like an example, let's see. I'm just going to come up with something. I mean, the normal way you do math. 145 minus 15 minus 72 minus 8. That's just using regular math. That's even the way that we learned it. That's, you know, okay, I'm going to add these, this, minus this. Okay, I got to take 1 from here. You got to take 2 from here. So there's,
there's
a lot of steps.
Well, even with the take 1s and take 2s, right? You put a little notation for 15 there.
Yeah.
If you write that all out, what I'll call longhand, the problem gets really long, right? Yeah. Like, instead of just scribbling in the margins, if you write out the actual next step of the equation and then solve that and then write the next equation, it is as long as Common Core. So I'm open to the idea of Common Core. this 32 minus 12 is a bit crazy. I mean, you got to deduce four numbers and then add them together.
There's always going to be crazy ones. There's always going to be ones that are just ridiculous, mm-hmm. and there's going to be ones that are really simple.
Right.
In no matter what process you use. So,
but okay, so go back, flip back to the Common Core example, right? Yeah. So say you're doing this in your head. You have no paper, right?
Right.
Okay. And pretend you have enough number knowledge to know that 32 minus 12 is...
I'll try.
Well, I mean, it's hard, right? Yeah. Because, I mean, it's pretty... But the trick that you're using in your head right now is the trick you've learned
essentially
from custom math, right?
Yeah.
Because you're like, okay, lop off the twos, lop off the one, 20, right? Right. You know, but that's... Again, that is playing into this Facebook example yeah. of... Because you're just lopping off at that point. You're not doing any hard subtraction. You're not doing, you know, something like 5 minus 9.
Right.
Which is a lot harder for a kid mm-hmm. than 2 minus 2.
Well, do kids even know about negative numbers? That's
Well, I'm just talking about the right column, right?
Yeah.
So you have to borrow a number from the left column, right? So, I mean, that's what I'm talking about, 5 minus 9 versus 2 minus 2. Of course, 2 minus 2 is easy, but you could take those numbers and change them where Common Core is less work than traditional math,
mm-hmm.
especially if you have to borrow a 1.
I mean, the question isn't to me whether it's less work or not. The question is to me is whether it gets kids to understand and to appreciate math more,
mm-hmm.
because that's the problem.
I mean, okay, so you're doing the simple math problem, right? And you're all, like... The question I have is, I'm leaning towards it. It's okay to introduce pre-algebra, but I mean, like right there, you're saying what minus or 12 minus what is 15 or 12 plus what is 15,
mm-hmm.
you know? And when you're traditionally, when you're learning subtraction of 2-digit numbers, you're not even close to that whole variable thing,
right.
you know, the minus what or plus what, So, but I think there's definitely an advantage to get them to thinking algebraically there.
Absolutely.
I have to go potty. Can't hold it anymore. Where's that pause button? So I got a little sidetracked, but I think the point I wanted to get back to was when you're out in the field doing math, trying to, you know, relatively simple, maybe intermediate type math, right? I mean, I find that I do the estimation route, right?
Yeah.
I kind of ballpark it, then dial it in. Sometimes the ballpark's a good enough answer, right? So, I mean, the Common Core is kind of getting you that estimation.
Basically.
On another hater, Common Core hater site, right, they showed, like, another horrible example where it's like, figure this out by estimation. And it was like 179 plus 294 or... Maybe not 90s, but like they just rounded down to the nearest 100. So the answer was 300 when the real answer was like, you know, 450, you know, so it was like really far off.
Uh-huh.
So people just kind of showing like, what good is this?
Wait a minute. So 300 versus 400. I mean, if you take it from the standpoint of a math professor, let's say, they would say, I mean, you're in the ballpark. You're in the same order of magnitude. Mm-hmm. you're not off by that much, as it turns out. That's not that big a deal. I mean, obviously it is when you're talking about the very specifics of, you know, mm-hmm. of one, you know, of units. But in terms of the bigger picture, you're not very far off.
Right. Yeah, I mean, but, you know, again, I think this was a Common Core hater site because
yeah.
the question was more about estimation, you know? And it was, they were accentuating the worst rounding down where both numbers that were rounded down were closer to the next number, yeah. the next 100 number, right? And so you're rounding off more than 50.
I mean, think about how you use math today. Like, okay, I have, you know, $8,000 in this bank account, and I want to buy something that's, you know, $500. Where would that leave me at roughly $7,500? You don't actually do the math in your head for the specifics of exactly how much money you have, you do the rounding, because that's normally good enough. So I think that that's a... We just got tweets.
No, look who's following us all of a sudden. Sony Legacy Recordings. They know we did play Gloria Gaynor in the show that hasn't been posted yet.
Is that owned by Sony?
Must be. They must know. They know. Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, there could be... there could be problems with... apparently, fractions are really... Someone is saying here, fractions are touted as Common Core's greatest strength. Yet the Common Core pushes teaching division of fractions to grade 6 without ever expecting students to master working with a mix of fraction decimals. Students in Singapore, Japan, Korea, and Hong Kong achieve fluency in fractions and decimals in grade 5.
Okay.
That's okay. So you're 1 year off from the best students in math. I don't know if I've ever really mastered division with fractions. Decimal I can do, but fractions are hard. You're thinking, what do I do with the numerator and denominator again? What do I do?
Division of fractions.
Yeah.
Jeez. Okay. So what's that? That is
so 1/4 divided by 1/8.
What does that mean?
Well, it means 0.25 divided by what's 0.16? Is that
no? It's
0.125.
1/8 is 1/25.
Yeah.
But okay, so you're dividing a quarter. So that's how many eighths are in a quarter? So that's just 2, right? That's easier to visualize than to do the actual math.
Right.
But yeah, writing it out. Let's see, division. I don't know how to do... So you converted it to decimal.
Right.
And divided. I could figure that out, but I don't remember how to divide fractions.
No.
Jesus, what would I do? I mean, other than... So I visualized it because it was... But let's not do 1/8. Let's all do... Right.
Let's do 5/32.
5/32.
Divided by...
Something smaller. So let's do...
2/9.
2/9. Jesus, is 2/9 even smaller than 5/32? I don't think it is.
Well, that would be 4/18, which would be 6/36. 6/36 versus 5/32.
All right, so 2/9 divided by 5/32. How would I even go about solving that? This is great radio.
Yeah.
We should pause. Let's pause.
Okay,
let's pause. And try to figure it out. Yeah. Okay, so it kind of came back to us, right? We needed to get the denominators to common. And the closest one was 9 times 32, which is 288.
Right.
So then the 2/9 turned into 64/288, and the 5/32 turned into 48/288, and I think it's right dividing the 64 by 48, so that's 1.333333 repeating over 288.
Yeah.
That doesn't reduce down to anything less simple. Okay.
So there you go. You know what? We should check it. We should check... let's wolf them out for this and see if we get our answer right. Okay. Wolfram.
Once we realized we had to find a common denominator, it got...
Yeah.
But, See, trying to figure out if there was one before 9 times 32 was tricky.
6 was it? Okay. It was 5/30 seconds divided by...
No, the other way. 2/9 divided by 5/30 seconds.
2/9 divided by 5/30 seconds. They say exact result is 1/720.
720th. So okay, so well, we had a decimal on our numerator, right? So that's no good. So then, okay, so what did we forget to fix? We can't have a decimal in the numerator, right? We just gave them a dumb number, right?
Yeah. Well,
so we got to take the 1.333.
I don't think this is right. Okay, because this is saying that this is the input. Is that right? Does that look right to you?
No.
Let's see.
Come on, Wolfram. Oh no.
So they say the exact result is 64/45. Or 1/19/45. I thought we were doing it the other way. I thought we were doing it 5/30 seconds divided by 2/9.
No, I did. No, I did the other way. I did. My work here shows 2/9 divided by 5.
I mean, it would just be the opposite. So it would just be 45 over 64 is 64 over 45. But still, it's.
We don't know how to do it.
No. We'd have to relearn.
Fucking division of fractions. What the hell?
So. I'm glad we have calculators.
Can't even do a division of fractions on a calculator.
Well, you can...
With Wolfram Alpha, you can. Do it. Pull up calculator and do it.
You can, yeah, you can convert the fractions into decimals and then do it that way.
Okay, yeah. You're right. I want to know how to do this now. Damn it. I want to know where I got it wrong. Oh, well.
Yeah, so just goes to show you that we're dumb.
Very, very dumb. Let's try to do some calculus. God.
Do you remember your trig? Do you remember your Stokotoa?
My what?
You remember sine, cosine, tangent, right?
Yeah.
So sine is... opposite over hypotenuse. Ka is your cosine, and that's adjacent over hypotenuse. And toa, opposite over adjacent. That's how you remember how your...
Okay, I don't remember that.
Your angles
were. I don't remember that at all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that way, if you have, you know, it's obviously easier with a right triangle, but if you have a right triangle, right... Mm-hmm. And you wanted to get this angle here. Mm-hmm. You wanted to get the cosine of this angle. It would be ka opposite over hypotenuse. So the opposite angle, or the opposite
mm-hmm.
is this one over this one.
Right.
And that would give you your cosine.
Right, because you're taking the lengths and trying to get an angle. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's much easier when you have two angles and just need to find a third.
Right. Definitely.
Yeah, I didn't like my trig teacher very much. And it's a shame, because if he wasn't a super dick,
mm-hmm.
trig probably would have suited me well. I love geometry. And trig's just a little extension of that, but oh, you're such a dick. Such a dick.
If you want to go over this math stuff, I highly recommend Khan Academy. They're great. They really are. They have great tutorials. I'm sure they have a tutorial on dividing fractions. They have a tutorial on trig. They have a tutorial on calculus. To get yourself back into the mindset of doing that math stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's not that hard when you just put your mind to it.
Oh, there's my mess up. Part of my mess up. I put 48, and it should be 45. The numerator on this side should be 45.
Oh.
That's part of the problem.
Oh, then you have 64 over 45.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I do. Found the problem.
Yeah, okay. Simple enough.
Yeah, because the denominator just falls out, and you put the numerators. Yeah.
We had to see once we got the correct answer.
Yeah, figure out.
We could figure out where we were doing it wrong. Okay, yeah, that's so we were right. We had to get to 288, but then we forgot that. Oh yeah, now we can just drop the denominator completely, and just worry about the numerators.
Yep.
All right. So it's good to end a show with how dumb we are.
Yep, I think that's a good place to end it.
Yeah. Have a good week, everybody, and we'll see you next week.
Yep.